Amen. We have come this morning to sing about the cross where Jesus paid for our sin. Let's sing together this morning. Would you stand with us? Rejoice, the Lord is King.
Good morning, church family. It is a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. And welcome home. You braved the cold. You made it. You didn't freeze. You didn't have your mustache get icicles all over it. You got here. Way to go. It's always hard getting through that cold day, but you're here. It's warm, and we're together with family. It is so wonderful to see everyone here today. If today is your first day or your first time in a long time, we would like to say welcome home. In the pew in front of you, there's a yellow card or a QR code. If you wouldn't mind either filling out that yellow card or scanning that code fill that out. At the end of today's service, if you will take that all the way down by our nursery, there is a sign on the wall that says Guest Center. Give it to the person there. We have a gift for you. It's just our way of praying for you. Figuring out who's all here and seeing how we can connect with you. I promise we're not going to give you all kinds of random text messages or phone calls or anything like that. We just want to know if we can pray with you. Church, it's so wonderful to see everyone here today. Let's pray as we continue to worship our risen King. Heavenly Father God, you are good. And we thank you for who you are, and we thank you for all that you've done within our lives and within our communities. Lord, be with us as we try to see the moments, the little everyday moments, the conversations around the dinner table, the conversations in the car on the way to work or on the way to school. Help us to see you in those moments, God. Be with us today. Prepare our hearts and our minds and remove any distractions we may have, and help us to focus wholeheartedly on you. God, we love you and we thank you. It is in your name we pray. Amen. Let's worship.
Come on and down.
Okay, girls. Okay. All right. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Do y'all see what I have behind me?
No.
Look behind me. Do you see what I have?
Yeah.
What is that?
I don't know.
It's not. It's kind of a puzzle, but what else? Has anybody ever done gymnastics before?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Like a balance beam, right? It's not. The thing about this one, though, it can go crooked. And it doesn't go totally straight. Now, what do we know about a balance beam with gymnastics?
You have to put one foot in front of the other.
You put one foot in front of the other. That's right. And it's totally straight, right? Not like this one where it can bend. And, okay, sit down. Sit down. So nobody falls off the steps. Thank you. But have you ever watched gymnastics, maybe on the Olympics or something? And they do flips and they do jumps on the beam? Have you ever seen that, Jacob? It's pretty cool. Now, when they do a jump on the beam, they've got both their feet on the beam, and they jump. Where do you think their eyes are? You think their eyes are on the feet? What do you think?
On the beam, because it depends how it is.
Well, it's not. You know what? It's not on the beam. That's not what their coaches tell them to do. They don't put their feet on the beam. They find a focal point up ahead, anything, and they stare at it. And that's how they walk straight on the beam. And then when they do their jumps and they land back on the beam, they're always looking straight ahead at a focal point. Have any of you ever done ballet? Ballet, okay. So when they do a spin, just like ice skating, and Emma, when they spin around like that, do you think they just look all around the room like crazy when they go spin around? They are focused on one spot. They look straight ahead, and then they spin around looking right back at the same spot over and over and over. That helps them to not get dizzy, and that's to train their brain that they're focused ahead to help them know where to get their balance back. And that's the same with the balance beam. Now, how many of you have played baseball? A few more probably have played baseball. It's important that you keep your eye on the ball. Also the bat, right? Yeah, because what happens if your eye's not on the bat? You might get bonked in the face, right? Yeah, that's happened to some. But we're not going to go there.
But most of all, you need to keep the eye on the ball because it might hit your nose.
Yes, you got to keep your eye on the ball. Same with other sports, too. All sports with balls, you got to kind of know where the ball is. But when you're dribbling the ball, are you supposed to watch the ball? No, you focus ahead, right? You're supposed to be looking at the basket, where you're going, or looking at who you're passing. You always have a focus point. No matter what you're doing, you always have a focus point. And when we talk about living a Christian life, we have a focus point too, right? And sometimes we get distracted. Things distract us from doing what we're supposed to do. Where's our focus supposed to be as a Christian? On Jesus, right? On God. Now, look at this. Does anybody know what this says? Don't tell me out loud if you know. Can you read that language?
No, but I'm
Wait, it's not Chinese, actually. Look far at the language. It's actually English. Does it look like a word to you? Okay, now. Wyatt saw it. Wyatt, what does it say? It says Jesus. Everybody look right here. Look at the dark spaces in the empty, not, don't look at those sticks. Do you see, hold on, I'm going to show this way first. Do you see the J right there? The E, the
oh,
F?
Oh, yeah, I see.
The U and the F. Okay, look this way, look. You'll see the J, the E, the S, U, and S. You see it?
Now
you do, right? That's pretty cool. You have to know where to focus. If you are not focusing on the right things, it'll take you down the wrong path. And it just looks like a bunch of gibberish, right? The wooden sticks just look like a bunch of gibberish. But when you know where to focus, you see Jesus. I want to read to you Hebrews 12, verse 2. It says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Julia, can you read a scripture for me? Okay, you're going to read Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25 through 27, starting right here, okay?
Where?
Right here on where my thumb is.
"Let your eyes look forward, fix your gaze straight ahead, carefully consider the path for your feet, and all your ways will be
established.
Don't turn to the right or to the left. Keep your feet away from evil."
Thank you, Julia. We always need to remember to keep our focus on Jesus, to keep our focus on God, and Pastor B is going to talk about that more today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Help us to not be distracted with all the worldly things around us. Help us to keep our focus on you. Help us to keep you as that focus point. Help us to not fall off the beam and to stay on that straight and narrow path that you provided for us. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Alas, did my Savior plead, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the at the cross, where I first saw Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten there, nailed to a cross of wood. This the power
statement of faith. Is he worthy?
Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?
We do.
But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all made new. We do. Is all creation groaning? It is. Is a new creation coming? It is. Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? It is. Is it good that we remind ourselves of it? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he's David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Of all blessing and honor and glory, is he worthy of this? He is. He does.
Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and caring for us each day. May we use our blessings to help those in need and to continue our outreach to those who need to discover your love. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I fail, still your mercy remains. And should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all. Losing myself and bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all faith. In my heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out. Myself and bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all things. In my heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out. Justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all faith. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all faith. And the cry is to bring you praise from the inside out, Lord. My soul cries out, everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all faith. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside. Cries out from the inside.
Let's pray. Father, that is our heart today, and if it's not our heart, help it to become our heart, that you change us, you consume us from the inside out. Start with me. Start inside of me, instilling and emboldening me to become more like you. I pray that for each of us, that that would be our desire as believers, to become more like you, to know you more, to love you more. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. We lift you up because you are worthy, just as we sang about a moment ago. There's no question. You are worthy. Move within our hearts and in our lives today. Lord Jesus, for your glory, we pray these things. Amen. Bienvenidos de nuestros hermanos y hermanas de San Salvador. Greetings from our brothers and sisters in El Salvador and in the city of San Salvador. I had the opportunity this week to go to that city for a couple of days with South Texas Children's Home, and through that process, look at what is going on there and how South Texas Children's Home, we call it Stitch, is moving to partner with ministries there and churches there. It was very impressive to see what is happening there. And I have to tell you, as I've thought about our time together today in this series, having the opportunity to be with brothers and sisters in a foreign country, particularly in a country that is much more impoverished than ours, and to worship with them is humbling. It's humbling. We talk about wanting to become more like Jesus. We talk about sacrifice, to surrender ourselves, to be with him, to make time for him. And then you go and you see people who have nothing, who may not know if they're going to have food the next day, but yet come in droves. 400 people or so met for worship Thursday night, and I had the privilege, the humbling privilege, to preach to them. It changes your perspective. It changes. We always tell this to people as they go on mission trips: you go to serve, but you'll be the one that's blessed. It changes your perspective a little bit to see what others are willing to go to, the lengths they're willing to go to truly worship and to grow in their faith and to become more like Jesus. And so I just wanted to encourage you in that, because there are others around the world who strive just as we do in different circumstances to become more like Jesus. We have a tendency, I think, because of being raised, most of us, in this wonderful country, to have a little bit of arrogance. We have a tendency sometimes. And if we're not careful, we'll go to another country like that as if we have the answers to go help these poor people. And really, they're the ones that are sending missionaries here. That's convicting. I've met some. They're missionaries from other countries to our country to proclaim the gospel. So we're not the only ones. We don't have a corner on the gospel. We're in this together as family, growing and learning to be more like Jesus. And so that's really what this series is about, inside out, of growing to be more like Jesus. If we are believers, like I talked about last week, if we have professed Jesus as our Savior and Lord, then our ultimate goal should be to become a little more like Jesus every day. That's what it means to be his disciple, to follow him, to learn from him, to be more like him. And so we began this new year and this series thinking about, how do we do that? How do we become more like Jesus? How do we live our lives as disciples? And I gave you 6 words last week. I hope you wrote them down. If not, you have a chance to write them down today. I think something that we can pattern this effort after for the rest of the year, really for the rest of our lives, and this is it. The first two words are look in. Look inward. How is it with your soul? The passage we looked at last week was 2 Corinthians 13:5. Paul says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or don't you know that Jesus Christ is in you if you pass the test? Examine yourself. Look inward. Am I living my life to follow Him? The second two words are look up. Ginger did a great job of illustrating that for each of us, for our children, but for all of us today. We should have our eyes fixed on Him. Are we looking to Jesus every day for guidance, for direction? So look in, look up, and then look out. We were not saved for us. We weren't saved for us. If you are a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved. You're secure. But it doesn't stop there. That's the beginning of the journey. We are saved to serve Him. And so we look out. The third set of words. Look in, look up, and look out. How are we to serve Him? How are we to live our lives that we make an impact? Are you going to make an impact this year for Him? Is this church going to make an impact in our community, in our state, in our nation, in our world? Are we going to make an impact for Him? Or are we just going to be comfortable going through the motions? May we never be comfortable going through the motions. Jesus did not save us to be comfortable. So next week, we're taking the pews out. The following week, I'll be looking for a new job. In all seriousness, we weren't saved to be comfortable. Jesus never said, follow me and you'll never have another problem. Jesus never said, follow me and it gets easier every day. He never said that. We were saved to make a difference for Him in this world. You've heard me say this before. The church is God's plan A for the redemption of humanity. Since Jesus came, the church is the plan. There's not a plan B. Now, I will tell you, Scripture is very clear. If we refuse to speak for Him, even the rocks will cry out. God will find a way, but His plan is for us to be His messengers, His disciples. And so we'll talk more about that next week and how we make an impact. But those three sets of words, keep those in your mind. Look in. Examine yourself. Look up. Look to Him for guidance. And look out. How are we going to make a difference? How are we going to serve Him? Today I want us to focus on this idea of looking up. Looking to God for direction, for hope, for clarity. Fix your eyes on Jesus, who is, by the way, the author of faith, the giver of grace. Our passage today, Colossians 3, 1 through 3, similar to what Paul was talking about last week in 2 Corinthians that we looked at. Since then, you have been raised, a better translation might be, if you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. See, the danger of looking inward is we typically stop there. But that's just the beginning. When we look inward, we look to see, have we committed to Him? Are we in the faith, as we looked at last week? Have we surrendered? Verse 3 here says that we have died. We have died to ourselves and have been raised with Him. Have you died to yourself? You don't have to answer that to me. You will have to answer before Him. Have you died to yourself? Have you surrendered? That's really at the heart of what it means to follow Jesus, isn't it? Surrender? I just said last week, we don't have a problem with Him being our Savior, but we struggle with Him being our Lord. It's about surrender. It means that our desires take a back seat, that I take a back seat to Him. Now, I will be the first to tell you, I don't do this perfectly. And everybody said, let's just get it out. I don't do this perfectly. That's what it means to get up every morning and surrender to Him. You get up today and you try to be a little more like Jesus today than you were yesterday. And we don't always do a great job of it. But following Jesus begins with surrender. To say, what you want for me, that's what I want. I just want to please you. I just want to serve you. I just want to do what you want me to do. Because let me just tell you, what Jesus has for you is so much better than anything you could ever think up for yourself. Anybody ever experienced that? We think we have the idea, the perfect plan, right? Scripture says we make plans and God laughs. We surrender to Him. Remember that this life is never about us. It's always about Him. We have died, Paul says, and now we have been raised with Christ. And so we are to set our hearts and our minds on Him. This first step is surrender, to die to self. And that sounds horrible, doesn't it? And from a human standpoint, from our own desire, we want to be our own boss. But in order to truly follow Jesus, He has to become first. I've heard it said, if He is on the throne, you can't be. But if you are, He can't be. And so we surrender to Him. That's the first step, to seek Him first. Jesus' own words in Matthew 6:33 is, seek God and His kingdom first. And His righteousness, what He has for us. And then what? What happens if we seek Him first? Everything else, all of these things will be added. See, what we need to understand with that is it's so counterintuitive to us. It's like, but I want to do this. I know if I do this, then I'll get this. But Jesus says, if you seek Him first, then all these other things will take care of themselves. That's why there is such freedom and liberty in following Jesus. All we really have to do is keep our eyes on Him, and He'll take care of the rest. Amen? Okay, you're still with me. I could start speaking in Spanish. Will that help? Actually, we'd be out of here in about 30 seconds because that's about all the Spanish I know. And then I figured you'd say amen to that. So never mind. We start with surrender, to giving ourselves to Him. But Paul says that in verse 3 here, for you died and your life is now what? Hidden in Christ. You are His. Think about that for a minute. When you surrender to Him, you are His. The very Son of the living God has you in His hands. Following Jesus is a one-time commitment. I believe that. I believe that we make a decision to follow Jesus and we give our lives to Him and He saves us. Paul tells us if we confess with our mouths and we believe with our hearts that Jesus is God's Son and He has been raised from the dead, then we will be saved. So I believe Scripture teaches us that we make a decision to follow Him and He saves us and there's nothing. We are His. We are hidden in Him at that point. But living for Him is a daily decision. So following Jesus is a one-time commitment, but a daily decision to surrender to Him. We died, as Paul says, to self, and we were raised with Christ. He has saved us and given us life. Now we are to set our hearts on things above, set our minds on Him. Our desires, our passions, our desire should be to show Him how much we love Him. What have you done today to show Him how much you love Him? What will you do tomorrow to show Him how much you love Him? It's not just this surrender. It's a commitment to actively seek Him, to desire Him. Not only do we have to make this decision and to commit and to surrender, we need to actively, daily seek Him, surrender to Him. Meister Eckhart, in fact, a friend of mine, has this in his tag in emails that go out. It's been a quote that I've kept on my desk for years. But Meister Eckhart says, "The reason we do not see God is the faintness of our desire." The reason we do not see God is the faintness of our desire. Do you desire to see Him? You see, I believe, and you've heard me say this before, one of my pet peeves when someone prays, particularly in a group like this, is when they say, "God, come into our presence." And I understand the heart behind that. If you've ever prayed that prayer, I'm not condemning you, but understand, my understanding is God is here. We don't have to ask Him to come into our presence. When two or three are gathered, what? He's here. So the issue isn't God. The issue's us. Are we looking? Are we paying attention? Or are we thinking about what's for lunch? Some of you are thinking about what's for lunch right now. And if you weren't, you are now, so you're welcome. You see, when we want to see God, it depends more on our desire to see Him and our putting measures in place to see Him, because God is with us. There is no place, Psalm 139 says, there is no place we can go that He is not with us. If I go up to the heavens, what? He is. If I go down to the depths, He is. If I go across to the other side of the ocean, He is. We can't go anywhere that He's not there. So the issue isn't, "God, come be with us." The issue is, "God, open my eyes. Give me a desire to see You. Give me a passion to know You." It's on us. And sometimes God gets our attention through things we go through, and it's easier sometimes for us to let the distractions fall away when there's a problem, right? We really seek Him when we have issues. Well, all of us have issues, but when we have a problem, it's harder sometimes to truly desire to see Him when things are going well. But our prayer should be, "Jesus, help me see You today. Give me Your eyes to see others as You see them. Give me Your eyes to see You involved in my life every day." Hindsight is always what? 2020. I can look back and I can see how God has worked in my life. It is more rare to see Him working. We have to be paying attention. We have to be diligent. We have to have focus. Where is your focus today? Our prayer should be, "Lord Jesus, I love You. Help me love You more. I know You, but help me know You more." Are you truly in the faith? Are you living in the faith, as we talked about last week? Or are we just going through the motions, distracted? It's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to take our eyes off of Him and not really see God around us and working in us and around us. So our prayer needs to be, as I said, I love you, Lord. Help me love you more. I know you. Help me know you more. Knowing Jesus must be our most passionate desire. As I even typed those words, I'm convicted. When I was writing this, I became convicted because I don't know it's my most passionate desire. Not every day. And that's just confession to you. But I think you could probably say the same. Probably not every day is it your most passionate desire to know Jesus more. But it should be. Paul tells us, if in fact you have surrendered to Him, if in fact you have been crucified and raised to Him, then set your minds and your hearts on things above. Set your heart. This idea of desires we've just been talking about. What is it that you desire? What is it that keeps you up at night? What are you passionate about? What makes you tick? It ought to be more and more following Jesus that you're passionate about, that your heart is set on. Set your minds, he says, on things above, not on things below, not on things here. What do you think about? What do you think about when you sit still? Well, if you sit still too long, you probably fall asleep. But if you were thinking, what do you think about? Another friend has this quote at the base of his emails that come out. It's a quote again that I've had on my desk for years, but A.W. Tozer says, what you think about God, anybody else know the quote? Is the most important thing about you. What you think about God is the most important thing about you. Do you think about God? An old Puritan preacher from the 17th century, Thomas Watson, he said, the first fruit of love is the musing of the mind upon God. He who is in love, his thoughts are ever upon the object. Have you ever been in love? If you're married, you better say yes. Thomas Watson said, the first fruit of love is the musing of the mind upon God. He who is in love, his thoughts are ever upon the object. By this we may test our love to God. What are your thoughts most upon? Can we say we are ravished with delight when we think on God? And then here's the convicting part of this quote. Oh, how far are they from being lovers of God who scarcely ever think of God? How far are they from being lovers of God who scarcely ever think of God? Do you think about Him? Is He on your mind? Are you focused on Him? As believers, we need to live in this world, but not ever think that we're of it. A.T. Robertson says, our feet should be planted here, but our eyes should be focused there. Ginger has already read this passage, but the writer of Hebrews, in chapter 12, I'm going to move back to verse 1. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Fix your eyes on Him. Set aside those distractions. Set aside anything that hinders. Like I said, God is always with us. He is there. Do we see Him or are we distracted? It's so easy to be distracted. Just remember, this isn't our home. This isn't our home. We are foreigners here. And so it's so easy for us to get distracted by shiny things that will not last. Isn't it? It's so easy for us. And I think that's a part of the method and the strategy that Satan uses, because if he can keep our eyes off of Jesus, we're not a threat. So he throws fun things in front of us, shiny things. We get distracted. But remember, this is not our home. Our true home is on the horizon. We need to look there. So don't get bogged down. Don't get hindered with the things of this world. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. Set aside those things. Throw those things off and run the race that He set you here to run. Focus on Him. So look up and fix your eyes on Jesus. Look up and fix your eyes on Jesus. So as we said from last week, we look in, we examine ourselves. Are we living in the faith? Then we look up and we fix our eyes on Him and we walk in that faith. And next week we'll talk about what it means to look outward. What difference does it make if we're not being used by Him to make a difference here? But it starts with looking in and looking up. My challenge for us today is start each and every day, each day, by surrendering to Jesus. And then look to Him throughout the day for guidance. It's one thing that the first thing you do when you turn the alarm off in the morning is say, Jesus, I give You this day. I give myself to You. But then what happens? Life. And we take our eyes off. And so we need to look throughout the day, looking to Him for guidance. May it start today. Make sure that we're living in the faith, following Him, keeping our eyes focused on Him. Let's pray together. Jesus, I thank You for guiding us. I thank You for making it possible for us to even have a relationship with You in the first place. Thank You for all that You do for us, Your grace, Your love, Your forgiveness, Your mercy, Your salvation. We are truly lost without You. And so today, remind us of that fact. Remind us that we need to make sure that we are truly Your child. It starts there. If there's anyone here that has never made that commitment, that decision to give their life to You, may today be that day. But then remind us, it doesn't stop there. So many of us, we stop there. We think we have given our life to You, and now we're safe and we can do whatever we want, but that's not what You have for us at all. So remind us today that we are to examine ourselves to make sure that we are living in the faith and that we look to You to give us the wisdom, the guidance, the strength, the clarity to do just that, to live in the faith. Lord, be glorified through us. We love You. Help us love You more. We know You, but help us know You deeper. All of this for Your glory, Lord Jesus, and in Your name we pray it. Amen. Just a moment, we'll move into a time of response. This time is for you to respond to Him. Now, if you want prayer, I will be here. I believe Ginger will be here. John will be here. You can come for prayer. If there's a decision you'd like to make, if you have never made that commitment to follow Jesus, to live in the faith, I want to talk to you about that. And if you don't feel comfortable coming up here during this time of the service, come see me in the Welcome Center afterwards. Don't leave this place today without making sure that you understand what it means to commit your life to Him. But maybe you haven't been walking in the faith. Today's a day to recommit to do just that. Whatever God leads you to do, don't leave this room without responding to Him. So we stand and sing. Just bow for just a moment. It's obvious the Spirit is moving in this place. And I just want you to let all the distractions slip away as you bow your heads, close your eyes. I want you to ask the Lord Jesus one question. That's it. How can I love you more? And then just rest in that for a minute. How can I love you more? Lord Jesus, we pray that for the rest of our lives, you will show us each and every day how we can love you more. Amen. You can be seated for some announcements.
Are you glad you came this morning? Amen. So glad to see each and every one of you. Tonight, we are resuming Sunday night discipleship. That comes back tonight. We will have our meal downstairs in Elmore Hall at 5:15, and classes will begin at 6. For you brave souls who signed up to do the Running for God class with Stephen Heslip, amen. He sent me a text earlier. It says this: you will be running or walking today. Dress accordingly. The rest of us will pray for you in the warm building. That goes on tonight at 6 o'clock. Also, this Saturday, oh, I'm excited. Upward basketball, the season is officially started. Last week was our first week of practice. This Saturday will be our first games. We need so many volunteers. We need volunteers who can help work in the concession stands. We will always need volunteers to help ref and run clocks. And we just need people to help open doors. You don't have to know anything about basketball. Believe me, they allow me to coach. You just need to have a willing heart. And I was actually talking with Chris about this earlier. We have 230 children signed up for Upward this season. How amazing is that? Right? But let's do a little bit of math. If we have 230 children signed up to be here Saturday, that means there will be at least one adult for each of them, which brings our number to 460 people in that building just this Saturday. We need volunteers to help out with that. We need volunteers to work the concessions, to wet the doors. Anything you can do to help, you can sign up right outside the elevators. We would love to have you out there for that. Also, coming up, we have the women's retreat, the Clinging to Hope. The featured speaker will be Beverly Ross. It is March 1st through 3rd. It will be back at Mustang Island Conference Center. And in just a moment, we will play a video to kind of explain that a little bit more. So ladies, hope you can sign up for that as we watch this video.
Please tell me your calendar is marked for March 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. My name is Beverly Ross, and I absolutely cannot wait to be with you and explore the concepts I believe we're all hungry for. No matter what stage of life we're in, we all want more joy, more peace, more hope in our lives. Come on, join us, and let's talk about the disciplines we need to develop in our lives so we can enjoy the Holy Spirit's good gifts. See ya.
Just a moment, I want to introduce a wonderful family to you who are coming today to move their membership here. But before I do, just a reminder and kind of a plea. When I first got here, we started a relationship with Minger Elementary School. And it's our neighborhood elementary school just down Alameda from us on Louisiana. And so we do a lot of different things with that school. But one of the things we started back up this past fall was Reading Buddies, actually last year, Reading Buddies, where we partner one of us with one of their kids, and we launched that again, got ready to launch that again for the spring semester with 11 people, but because life happens, we've had some that can't do it this time, and so we now have 16 children and about 8 Reading Buddies that have committed. So if that's something you could do, it's 30 minutes, you go in and you're partnered with a specific child. You'll be with that child through the whole semester. And a couple of times a month, you go and spend 30 minutes just letting that child read. Are you reading to them? And the goal there is to build a relationship and to be a shining light for them. And the school is very open to us doing this. And so if that's something that you would be willing to do, we kick that off tomorrow. Now, you wouldn't have to go tomorrow, but it starts tomorrow, and like I said, we had folks signed up, and we've just threw different things. Some can't do it this time, and so if that's something you could do, contact Tara in the office tomorrow, and she'll get you signed up and get you partnered with a child. And most of these are first and second graders, but there might be a couple that are older. So just wanted you to know that, and if that's, again, something you can help us with, we would certainly appreciate it. And we'll, again, next week talk about how our faith should impact outside and what we should be doing outside. This is one opportunity to do that. Millers, come and join me. This is Mark and Carrie and Kathleen and Colton. Ah, thank you. They are coming by letter from another Baptist church in our area. And is it okay if I tell them what you used to do? Oh, okay, all right. You know, you have those as a pastor in your congregation that when you're preaching, you're conscious of, they know more than me, so I need to be careful. Mark has pastored for many, many years. 27 years, just across the bridge. And God has led them into a different season of life, and he is now working it's through Ed Rochelle, but what's that? Louise Allen Foundation. And so they have been coming and participating in our church now for several weeks and have made the decision that this is where God is leading them to call home. And so we are so grateful and glad that you have chosen to come here, feel led to come here. And so I ask this question, it's never gone poorly. If you as a church family are willing to accept them, to walk alongside them, it's a commitment, folks, it's a commitment, to walk alongside them and to pray for them and to be the family that they need, will you say, welcome home?
Welcome home.
Amen. That's your new church family. So glad that you're here. Stay here. Folks can come by and greet you if that's okay. I will meet you in the Welcome Center if you want to come see me. As we are dismissed today, don't forget that God has a plan for you. He created you because he loves you. He saves you because he loves you. And our goal is to become more like him. So may the God who loves us more than we can ever imagine remind us today that there is no place we can go that he's not already there. We just need to open our eyes and look to him. Amen. We're dismissed. So glad you're here. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.